Good morning. My name is Amanda Creamer, and I'm really excited to be here this morning. I'm a little nervous. I'm really excited that you all get to be with us in this journey this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and start. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Does anyone know that old song? Could you raise your hand if you heard that? I grew up in the Lutheran church, so I had heard that song. I looked it up, you know, on YouTube as I was preparing, and I found quite a few renditions of this song, and most of them were really terrible, like sung by a group of children on a stage who shouldn't have had microphones. But it says, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. Now, this hymn was written in 1972 by a Richard K. Avery and a Donald S. Marsh. And if you look up the instances that this song is found in hymnals, it's all over the place. The Lutherans are singing it, we were. The Catholics, it's in their hymnal. It's United Methodist Hymn, number 588. It's in the Australian Hymn Book 2, so I guess all of Australia is singing it, but apparently it did not make the first cut. And it's in the Chansong Wei Yabe, which is also known as Come Let Us Worship, the Korean English Presbyterian Hymnal and Service Book. It's a good book. All right, so I think we actually have a clip of the song. Kidding. They're really, really classy. Every one of them, they give a little kid a microphone. There, he's awesome. He did a good job. All right, there we go. All right. So you have to ask, why is everyone singing this crazy, simple song? And that's just it, I think. It's the simplicity. It's encouraging us that I am the church, you are the church, and together we make the church. Everyone wants to know that they're needed. We all want to know that we're important, that we have a role to play, and that we're necessary. So the church is built by God as we come together. You see that? It just shows up there. I say it. So, as y'all write that down, as Paul would say in Ephesians, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's in Ephesians 2, 21 through 22. So that brings me to the book of Romans, which is what I'm going to be talking about today. As John Stott puts it, God's good news for the world. So as is in most of the New Testament, Romans is a letter written by Paul. Unlike most of the letters Paul wrote, like to the Corinthians or to the Ephesians, Paul has not actually preached in the city of Rome, but he is preparing them for a future visit where he's going to be there later. So for the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is laying out the gospel message and how salvation through Jesus Christ is for both the Jews and the Gentiles. But when we get to Romans 12, his focus shifts to instruction on how the community of believers, both the Jew and Gentiles together, should treat one another and walk out life together in Christian community. So we're going to pick up Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So here Paul is calling the Roman believers to nonconformity of the culture around them. Like not watching rated R movies, that would, no, just kidding. He is reminding them that they will be changed as they renew their mind, and only then will they have the ability to understand and discern God's will for their lives. And as their minds become renewed and transformed, they will be able to see themselves more honestly. So in verse 3, if we look at it again, it says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." So I think that as we look at this, we need to be able to honestly look at ourselves and see where our flaws are. And we can do this because we have that renewed mind that he was talking about. And so I think it's easy to hold that magnifying glass to ourselves and scrutinize our lives and really think of all the things that we do wrong and how terrible we are, which I do to myself. But I think it's less obvious. And when Paul says to look at yourself with this sober judgment, what if we're also looking at the things that we have to offer? So we need to give ourselves the credit that we deserve. I think that we have a tendency, you know, we can fluff ourselves up and be prideful, but I think that we are equally likely, if not more likely, to discredit what we have to offer. You know, the enemy is good at convincing us with lies and not God's truth of who we are in him. So, I mean, for me, I'm loud a lot, and I can be silly, and I joke around a lot, but I worry that people think that I'm not intellectual or that I'm not a deep thinker. I've been a mom for a long time now, it feels like, and you know, I want people to be able to see that other side of me, to think that I'm capable of having, you know, intellectual conversations, and that I'm not just a mom, which I love being. That's all I ever wanted to be. But, you know, I want my mind to be challenged, and, you know, I want to be impactful to other people. And so I just hope that, you know, people see that other side of me and that that's portrayed sometimes through the jokes and the silliness and the sarcasm and all of that. So in John 17, Jesus is moments away from being arrested and facing torture, and he is praying to the Father, and he's praying for his disciples, and he is praying for future believers who will know him through the disciples' message and through his death. And I just think, what a God we serve. He's about to die. He's about to be arrested and tortured, yet he's praying for us who will know him so far in the future that he's always thinking about us. And as he's praying, he says this, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." So he's talking to the Father about he is one with the Father, that we would also be one with them. "I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." So we have Christ in us. He said that he has given us his glory. So when we just think terribly about ourselves and think that we're not capable of doing anything, we're saying that he's not big enough, that he's not good enough, that him being in us isn't enough for us to accomplish the things he's asked us to do. We don't need to wallow in that self-condemnation, and we don't need to believe the lies that the enemy or the world feeds us. You know, we need to stand in the truth of who we are. So I am the church when I discover and utilize my gifts in the body of Christ. So you might ask, how does that look? You know, how do I discover and utilize my gifts in the body? You know, Andrew, like Raymond said, Andrew and I have been at this church for about 13 years almost. And then we didn't just figure out our place here overnight. When we were first here, we signed up to help with almost everything. And we showed up once we signed up. You hear that? Like, if you say you're going to be there, then be there. It's so helpful. the sarcasm, it is. So we had almost every reason not to show up, guys. We had a growing family. Andrew had a demanding career. and we were tired. A lot of the time we were tired, but we showed up. And we started off small. You know, we attended a home group. We helped where we could. We volunteered in the children's department, which they always need. They always need help. And sometimes it's a hard place to serve, but they always need help. We hosted a table at Alpha when we do that. There's food involved in that. That's always, it's fun, guys. We cleaned up after First Sunday lunch. And little by little, we figured out which things we really loved and which things we just did because they needed to be done. So attending a home group turned into hosting a home group, which turned into leading a home group. And we started showing up to youth, and that turned into leading, and that turned into being the youth pastors. You know, so obviously your path is not going to be the same as ours. We can't all be the youth pastors, Joseph, wherever you are. I don't know. Our paths are going to be different, but they're going to be our path. And as long as you're just showing up, I've watched Heather Fuselier. Are you in here? There she is. You know, you've been so faithful. You know, you attended groups, then you coordinated, and now you're leading groups, and you're serving in the office, and you're serving with the First Sunday lunch cleanup. Am I right? Are y'all doing that? You know, all those places that aren't necessarily the most fun, but y'all are showing up, and you're doing it, and you're helping this church run, and I'm so thankful for that. And for Carrie, Carrie has showed up faithfully to that Friday night group, and she has just showed up, and she has showed up, and, you know, now she's helping, you know, coordinate, and she's helping lead, and she's awesome, y'all. So it's just you're showing up, and you're figuring out what you love, and if you don't love something, I mean, you can still help there, but try things out that you may not think that, you know, you would like. You should try children's ministry. Sherry always needs people. The second grade class, it's awesome. So anyway, hopefully you will find a place to serve that you absolutely love and not just something that needs to be done. So we're going to move on in Romans, in verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. So now, none of us can do everything, although some of us may try. Brian Fox, since he's not here, we can say that. But I believe God wants us to help others figure out their place too. So not just being worried internally, but helping raise other people up and making space for them. When Andrew and I were the youth pastors, we were supposed to be at one point hosting a conference here at our church for a couple of the other Vineyard churches, so we'll have a bunch of youth groups here. And the thing was, I had baby number 5 about 3 weeks before we were supposed to be putting this thing on. And I had just started homeschooling the other 4 kids, and it was just a lot. Like, it was too much. There was no way I could do all of it. But luckily, we had a brand new youth leader who just showed up, Stephanie Darden, and she was completely willing to help out in planning this thing. And although I could admit with my head that I needed to set aside this commitment and allow someone else to help do it, it was really hard. It was my job, and I wanted to prove to everyone that I could do it, that I could do everything, I could do it all, I didn't need help. And I was going to figure out a way to make it happen. And it was really painful to give it away. And to be completely honest, and she and I have talked about this, I was really angry at the one who I felt was taking it away from me. And then I was even angrier because it turned out she was better at it than I was. Like, if she had been terrible, like, fine, you know, see what happens. But, y'all, she was really good. So, you know, I had a decision to make. I could be angry at her for taking it from me, or I could give it away and be part of helping her learn how to do it well. And the thing is that through this process, the church has not only gained an amazing leader, you know, I have gained one of my closest friends. You know, and if we don't take that opportunity to set ourselves aside and usher somebody in and teach them how and allow other people to do things with us, then you're going to be tired and you're going to be doing it all by yourself. Nobody wants to do anything all by themselves. That's not what we're here for, you know? You know, the founder of the Vineyard, John Wimber, you know, he says, everybody plays. So everybody has a place and everybody, you know, has a chance. And we need to be willing to let other people do that and to have the patience to show them and to allow them. So you are the church when you make space for others to participate in the kingdom with us. So that is why team is the way we play here at the Vineyard, because it makes room for the other. And our growth groups, you know, one of the ways we do this to make room for the other is that you can only lead two growth groups consecutively, two semesters in a row, and then you have to take a break. You can't just lead and lead and lead and lead and lead. You have to take a break so there's room and a need for others and new leaders to emerge and be able to, you know, start a different kind of group. And maybe you can take another group and you can learn something new. It's a wonderful system. So Paul talks about this in Philippians. He says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. All right. So we're going to continue in Romans, verses 6 through 8 now, if you will. Paul writes, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So this is so encouraging to me. I love this list, guys. You don't have to be on the stage or have a ministry title to serve those around you and in your community. It's easy to encourage. You can do that in the pew. You can do that in your job. You can do that in your driveway with your neighbors, at your kids' schools. And Paul lists that encouragement alongside teaching and prophecy. You know, you don't have to have a theology degree to be generous. You know, you can be generous anywhere with your time, with your money, with your resources. You know, God loves those who are generous and who show mercy. It's a gift that he has given us that's just as important as leading and teaching. You know, there's room for everybody. So if we read verse 6 again, and this time in the Message, it says, so since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. So now, Joel Looney, he's an amazing teacher. I've already talked about how Stephanie has an amazing gift for organizing events, and she has an eye for detail, and I am not that organized, nor am I detail-oriented. You know, this church has an amazing worship team that needs all sorts of musicians and singers and people up there, which are all things that, again, I don't feel like are my talents, guys. Michelle Brandsetter, you know, she has an amazing ability to befriend people and draw them into community. But it doesn't feel like that those are my gifts. But I don't have to be angry. I don't have to be jealous at them. I don't have to be like, I'm not going to be as good as Joel. I'm not going to do anything. You know, like, you know, I'm not going to be a leader like Raymond, you know, so I can't even come to church. We all have gifts and talents and skills that are important and vital to our community. We can be encouragers. We can be generous. You know, we can show mercy. We're having to show a lot of mercy on Facebook these days, guys. We can do that. A lot of it. The truth is that I'm standing up here because my community saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. You know, a couple of months ago in the residency program, we were assigned to give a sermon, which is a 10-minute sermon, and I was terrified. The people in that class, y'all, they are more qualified and more worthy to be intellectuals than I am. And but I did it. You know, I followed the instructions, and I listened to what Raymond told us, and somehow, by God's grace, I got it done. And I already said that I don't feel like a gifted teacher, and that's true. So when everyone in that room, when I was done, told me it was a great sermon, I was pretty uncomfortable. Then they said that they wanted me to preach it on a Sunday morning in front of you people. I thought Raymond was kidding. Like, I just, and I was really scared. And I wanted to say no, and I wanted to run away. But when someone gives you an opportunity to do something that's bigger than you think you can handle and scarier, maybe instead of running away, you can say yes, and you're just going to kind of push it out of your mind until the very, you know, moment when you actually have to confront it, because it was a couple of months from when I said yes to this day. But I trusted my community, and I trusted that they were seeing something in me that I wasn't seeing in myself. And I trusted that it just might be the voice of God speaking through them, calling me to really be the church. So in Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul goes into greater detail about these spiritual gifts. From the Message, beginning in verse 4, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. Every person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. So even if you're the encourager, it makes you more significant. If you're generous, if you're showing compassion and you're showing mercy, you are more significant, not less significant. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge, big old ear. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. So a foot said, I'm not elegant like hand embellished with rings. I guess I don't belong to this body. Would that make it so? If ear said, I am not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive. I don't deserve a place on the head. Would you want to remove the ear? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If it was all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. So that's not just ears and eyes and nostrils. Y'all, it's you and it's me. And he has placed us all here. And I know that sometimes it gets hard and you feel like, I don't have a place, I should just not come. Or it's raining, so I really can't go to growth group tonight. But no, you're important. We need you here. You have a place and you have a voice and you're important. You know, Paul is pretty clear. You know, he says the church needs you and the gifts that God has given you. If you're around here long at all, you'll be asked to serve and given the opportunity to be the church. You might be asked to greet on Sunday or coordinate a growth group. Say yes. My joy. She did say yes. She's doing it. You might feed the homeless in Lewis Park or help in the cafe. There are tons of ways to use your gifts around here, and it all starts by just coming together. So we are the church together when we allow others to operate in their true giftings. So this is my prayer for all of us today. You know, I believe there are those of us here who do not know what their gifts and talents are. Maybe you're unsure of what you can bring or add to our community. Perhaps you don't know why you're here or how you fit in. But there's a part in all of us that wants us to feel useful. We want to feel needed. We want to feel necessary. We want to feel relevant. God did not create you without a purpose, without a reason. He didn't bring you here for nothing. I just want to just encourage you to just to plug in, to show up, and be honest with people. Be real with people about how you're feeling, because you're not going to forge relationships pretending to be somebody else. And as you get to know people and really are honest with people, again, you will begin to know yourself, and you'll be able to find those places where you love to help and you love to serve, and you'll just begin to fall in love with the people here that I have absolutely fallen in love with. You know, this Sunday mornings, you know, it's the highlight of my week because I love coming here and seeing all of my people. And I just wish that on each and every one of you, that you would fall in love with your community also, and that you would just find your place to be.
How about that, huh? Well, can you believe that, can you believe that we could hear this and think she needed to preach on Sunday? Yeah, I mean, there you go. What a blessing it is when you step out and when you take the chance, when you take an assignment and do an assignment. And Amanda, that's what you've done. And it puts us in a position where the favor of God comes and moves, and we get a chance to touch people's lives we never thought we would. You'll probably never preach here again. But the, the point is that how God uses, I might not preach here again. There we go. But the point, though, is that we continue to make that room for one another. And today, what a blessing to get to sit here and to hear you and not have to come stand up here. As she stands here, though, we're going to have that call that is there. Everything is a teaching, but it's a sermon when it has the call to it. And I told her I wanted to come up, and as she's standing here, to put that call to you, that you are the church, or is it say, how you want to say it? I am the church, you're the church,
we're the church, together.
I am the church. Did you happen to notice that video had the same woodwork we do? So that was our church before we got here. But this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and move. And move over this place. I know that her words have touched you. And some of you have come, and most of us come with a spirit of rejection that just says, I don't belong. I'm pressing through. Even if I do belong, they don't want me. Even if they want me, I couldn't do it. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and to move over this place. Everything wasn't always a bowl of cherries for Amanda and for Andrew. There was a time that they were leaving this church. They felt that it just wasn't working for them. And I went and talked to them and said, I'm just asking you not to leave. And I know it's not connected. They had some friends who left, and they just felt that was, why should we stay? Our friends have left. And I said, I know God's going to do something here with your life. And guys, that's been over 10 years. And I just want to encourage you that at times we want to run before there's time to be melded and molded and brought into those things. And I just ask the Lord to come and move here, that each of us senses his presence. And since there's that call, each of you know that you're loved in this church, and that each of you who find someone in this church you don't love and you don't like, that you feel the call to pray about that and realize that's just not the option to just write people off. So come, Holy Spirit, even now. We invite you to come and move. And Amanda, I just ask you to extend your hand out there. And I'm going to hand the mic back to you and ask you to pray for them. You're going to have to keep one on the mic. And then we're going to ask you to stand, if you will, right now. And she's going to pray for you. And then we're going to invite.
Yes. When I first came to this church, I wouldn't even pray out loud. Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence right now. Father God, we thank you that you are so good to us. We thank you that you have brought us into a community of believers and that you have brought people who are like-minded and who, although all broken and not perfect, we desire to love you, Father, and we desire to love each other well. And sometimes that is hard. And sometimes we don't know where we fit in and we feel awkward. And Father God, I just ask you just to reach out and to just heal those places that make us want to run, those places that make us feel hurt and rejected when someone says something to us that hurts our feelings, that we would really be able to just take a deep breath and to know that we're all imperfect and that we say things that hurt each other sometimes, but that we are so connected through you, Jesus. And I just pray just for anyone here today who is feeling hurt, that that God would just really just touch them right now and just begin to bring healing and wholeness to their body and to their emotions and to their feelings. And that if there are people who are hesitant about stepping out and leading or doing that, God, that you would just be working on them and that you would be encouraging them about how you made them and how they have strength and power and ability through you, and it's not through us. Because without you, none of us can do anything. We're scared to pray out loud.
As the Holy Spirit's moving on you, I want to invite you to come forward and let us pray with you. There's something that's kept you back, something that's holding you back. You felt back. I want to bring you up. Let's ask the Lord to come to heal the wounds and or give you courage and or just open up your life to that. So I invite you to come even now, right now. Ministry team, if you'll come to the front, here to welcome those who would come for prayer. I'm not saying as you come down, you're feeling all that. I'm saying we don't know exactly what may be standing in the way or feel like you feel standing in the way. We want to pray with you and let the Lord begin to remove the roots that are in the waterway that allow the ship to sail straight into the harbor, straight into the place where it can be loaded and ship cargo out. A picture of commerce that's there, but the commerce of the Spirit, commerce of the body life, being one speaking. Perhaps you've just gotten here. Perhaps you're feeling that there are things blocking that. I just invite you to come now. And as she said, she spoke of bodies being healed. We believe powerfully in the healing of the body of Christ, and the physical body is there. The Lord would come and heal knees and elbows and backs and shoulders, hips, ankles and feet and toes and all the things that get in the way, organs, blood, breathing, all of the things that are necessary for life. Heal finances. Heal our situations where we feel free to engage with there. Maybe it's breaking some strongholds in life that have kept me away from the body. I ask him to come even now and invite you to come this morning, even as I'm going to bless you, that you will feel free to come and afterwards come. I also want to say to you, as I'm releasing you, before I bless you, feel free, and I encourage you to go out to the table where they'll be signing up for the growth groups to sign up today And let that be the first step of moving in and moving on into the body of the church and life of the church. So come, Holy Spirit. Would you bless them and keep them and cause your face to shine upon them? Come on down. I ask you to be blessed in the name of the Father who loves you so much, the Son who has given you his life, that you may no longer live in rejection, but into the acceptance of the kingdom and into the body. And be blessed in the name of the Holy Spirit, who is moving even here now to bring you to the fullness of this kingdom life. Again, we bless you, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you so much.